Well, today is week six, and it's the final week of our current spiritual life campaign that we're calling 40 Days in the Word. And the goal in this campaign has actually been threefold, and you'll look at the screen, is that we want to help you, number one, love the Word. Number two, everybody together, learn the Word. And most importantly, this should all lead to number three, which is what? Living the Word. You and I are going to make a difference in our world, the people that we have influence with, when we're living out the Word day by day by day. It's not enough to know it. It's not enough to love it, but we got to live it out, okay? So this is the final week of this campaign, and I want to do this one last time as I want to recognize and thank all the host home leaders. So if those folks, all seven elements, all seven groups would please stand to their feet right now. Those who are hosting, those who are help leading a group, if you'd stand to your feet, let's give these people a round of applause this morning. All right. So the good news is you only have to clean your house one more week, okay? One more week. How many people know when you have people coming over, you kind of tidy up a little tighter than usual? Don't open that closet. It could be dangerous in that place. So next week you can leave those shoes in the wherever. So just thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And this will conclude our fall small group campaign. So what we'll do is we'll have our second semester will be in late January into February. We'll have another small group campaign, and it will look a little different. We're learning as we come along on this journey, and probably what will happen is they won't respond or correspond with the Sunday morning service. But there will be curriculum to give into each group, and we'll just go together on this journey because it's important. Here we in church, we sit in rows. And in rows, we all look forward and we listen to somebody talk. But it's in a small group that we get into a circle and we look at each other eye to eye and we invest in each other's life. We talk to one another. We share with one another. It becomes a little more intimate. Are Sunday mornings important? Yes, they're important. But I want to let you know also important is when we come together in a circle and we really get to know somebody. It's more than, how are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing good. Really? No. But you know what I'm saying, small groups are important. So we'll have another opportunity in January into February to do that, okay? So what I want to do today is I'm going to focus on two words, and I'm not sure what this is going to look like. The first word that we want to focus on today, everybody say that together.
Relationship.
Relationship. Let's see if relationship can stand right there, okay? And the other word that we're going to focus on today, everybody say this word together. Say it again. So we'll just see, religion's got problems, okay? And what I want to do today is I want to take a few minutes to share how these two words, relationship and religion, describe the difference in approach that people have towards God, okay? And to help us on this journey this morning, if you have your Bibles, and if you don't, the words will be on the screen ahead above me. I want to look at a passage of scriptures that I probably read 40, 50 times, literally, in my life, I've read this verse or these verses. And when I read these verses, it always captures my heart in the sense of I'm like, wow, really? That's powerful. It really gets me thinking inwardly, okay? So the verses we want to look at today are found in Matthew 7. Everybody, Matthew 7. There's a Bible in the pew. Try to find it. It's the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. And today we're going to look at only three verses, so it can't be really long, can it? We're going to look at verses 21, 22, and 23 of Matthew chapter 7. Today we're going to do something just a bit different, and that is we're going to stand for the reading of God's Word. So can we stand just to stretch out here? Everybody stretch out. We're going to stand for the reading of God's Word. Today our words are from the lips of our Savior, our King, the Lord of Lords, and that is Jesus Christ. Jesus says these words, not me, but Jesus. Jesus says, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do, everybody say that word, do, the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Jesus goes on in verse 22, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and we cast out demons in your name and we performed many miracles in your name. Notice all those things were done in his name. But verse 23 is the verse that always just captures my heart. my attention. And that is, Jesus says, but I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. So, Father, we just come to you this morning and we look into your word. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll be in these moments that we have remaining this morning. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be like fertile soil this morning, ready to receive the seed of your word. So I just pray right now for the dynamic and the working of the Holy Spirit in this room, that you would soften our hearts, prepare our hearts for the word today. And Lord, I just pray that you would use this broken vessel, that you would use me to share your word with your people. And I just thank you, Lord, for this word that you've given us today. Lord, may it impact our lives for eternity. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. You may be seated, by the way. I want to make sure we don't miss out on this word, so I'm going to make... So we got what over there? We got relationship, and over here we got religion, or we have, I'm sorry. Anyway, the passage of Scripture that we read this morning is taken from a much larger portion of Scripture that is called the Sermon on the Mount. Has anybody ever heard that terminology before? The Sermon on the Mount, of course. And that sermon, by the way, if you want to read it in its entirety, is found in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And what Jesus is doing in this great sermon, he's sharing with people the principles, the standards, the behaviors by which God expects us as believers to live by. I call it the Christian code of conduct, okay? Other people say basically it's God's will for how his people in the kingdom of heaven should live. How many people know people in the kingdom of this world live one way, but then there's the kingdom of heaven, and God expects these people in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, to live entirely a different way. So what we see in this sermon is Jesus is teaching the people. He's teaching the crowds how they are to be living differently. And he touches on very relevant issues, such as he touches about how we should handle anger. He talks about lust. He talks about retaliation. He talks about divorce. He talks about how we as believers in the kingdom should handle our enemies. He talks about giving to the needy. He even shows us how to pray. He talks about when you deal with anxiety. How many people have ever had anxiety before? He talks about how we should handle anxiety. He talks about how we should be in relationship, living with one another, how we shouldn't be judging one another, but how we should be treating one another the way we would want to be treated. So basically what Jesus is doing on the Sermon on the Mount, he's saying, hey, this is what life in the kingdom of God looks like. Yes, for all those years you've been living in the kingdom of the world, this is what it looks like. But in God's kingdom, this is what life looks like. Okay, so is everybody clear with that? Say, I'm clear. Let's go. Okay, oh, good. Okay, so what Jesus is teaching Matthew 5, Matthew 6. Then he gets into the, chapter 7 of this masterpiece. And he says something, and he makes something clear that gets my attention. I'm not being dramatic here. It gets my attention every time I read it. Every time I read it, it's like, whoa. Whoa, God, okay? And what he does is he gives a warning. How many people like warnings? I have found out that there's a lot of warnings, but we don't often heed the warnings. You know what I'm saying? We don't heed the warnings because we think things like, well, this doesn't apply to me, or I'm a little different. This rule doesn't apply. This warning doesn't apply to me. For example, have you been driving up 94 here in Hudson and you see there's signs that say lane closures in the evening? Has anybody seen that sign? That's a warning. But I didn't heed the warning because Tuesday night we went into the cities. And on the way home, Heather, Nolan, and I were flying along at about 70 mile an hour. And then soon as we hit about Carmichael, or a little before Carmichael, there are all these brake lights, and traffic just stopped altogether. Has anybody been in that yet since the construction? And traffic just stopped, and we sat there. Thankfully, it was only a mile long. But here's the thing. There was a warning posted, but we just didn't heed the warning. But Jesus, in verse 21, is he's giving you and me a warning. And I want to wake us up this morning to make sure that we're heeding the warning that Jesus is kind enough to show us. Okay? Because there's three titles for Jesus. There's three positions that Jesus is given. He takes the position of a prophet, of a priest, and a king. And in this three verses, he's taken on the hat of a prophet. He's showing us what it's going to be like at the end of time. And I think it would be very wise for us to take heed of the words, the warning of Jesus, that this is what's going to happen one day. You may not believe it. You may not heed the warning, But one day, this is what's going to happen to every single person to an extent. Look at the warning in verse 21. In verse 21, he says, not everyone. That takes my breath away when I read it. Not everyone, okay? Yes, there will be some people. Yes, there will be some. But Jesus makes it clear, not everyone. He says, not everyone who calls out to him, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but every time I read that, I'm like, wow. So Jesus, is what he's doing here is he's warning us that it's not enough to, listen carefully, it's not enough to say, it's not enough to know, and I could even put in there, it's not even enough to believe all the right things in order to get to heaven. Are you hearing me this morning? It's not enough to know, it's not enough to say, it's not enough to even believe all the right things to get to heaven. For example, many of us have grown up in churches where week after week after week after week after week, we grew up and we did what? We recited what? The Apostles' Creed. So let's do that one more time this morning. It's on the screen. Everybody together, I want your participation. Is everybody ready to read? Is everybody ready to give me some voice, some energy, okay? Let's read this creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Woo! I tell you what, that creed is filled with a lot of biblical truth. Amen? But here's what I want to tell you. You can say and you can know that creed. You can believe everything in there. And yet, Jesus is bringing it to our attention, and yet, you can still miss out on the kingdom of heaven. And I don't know about you, but that gets my attention. And here's why that gets my attention, you guys, because one of the ultimate goals, if not the ultimate, one of the ultimate goals of my life is that when I die, I want to go to heaven. You know, the Bible's very clear that when you die, there's one of two places where we'll spend eternity. The Bible's clear about a real place called hell, and the Bible's really clear about a place called heaven. And I don't know about you, but I want to, how many people are with me? How many people know that heaven's going to be much, much greater than hell? Are you with me this morning? How many people want to go to heaven when you die? How many people want your kids to go to heaven when they die? How many people want all your loved ones to go to heaven? Amen? That's my goal. And because that's my goal, there's been a lot of things I've sacrificed for on planet Earth. There's been a lot of things I've tolerated that I would not have tolerated unless I knew my hope was in heaven. Are you hearing me this morning? There's been a lot of things I've sacrificed that I wouldn't have sacrificed if I didn't believe in heaven. Why? Because I believe that heaven is the place, the eternal home, that we'll be in the presence of Jesus, worshiping him forever. Amen? It's going to be amazing. So if Jesus is saying that knowing all the right things isn't enough, because that's what Jesus is saying, you guys, knowing all the right things, saying all the right things, even believing all the right things isn't enough to enter the kingdom. My question always when I read the scripture, then, Lord, then who possibly can make it to heaven? Who are those people? Okay? And he says it very clear at the end of verse 21. Look at it again. He says, those who, everybody, let's read these two words together, actually do the will of my Father in heaven. So Jesus is saying, hey, not everyone shouts out, Lord, 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 Lord. But he says it's for those people who they're actually engaged in doing the will of my Father in heaven. And you could read that verse and you could get a little off track in thinking that is Jesus suggesting that salvation comes through him plus works? It's not Jesus plus works. Does everybody understand? Salvation is how? Through Jesus Christ alone. Amen? Do we all agree with that? Say amen. Okay. So when Jesus says those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven, here's the deal. What he's implying is that we have a relationship with God. A relationship with God that has changed our heart. A relationship with God that has changed our heart. And as a result of having a relationship with God, we want to do His will. Does that make sense? I think one person understood that. So let me say it again. Thank you, Jana. Was that you? Okay. Doing the will of God is not the works is not the way we get to heaven. It's through a relationship. But here's the deal. As a result of the relationship, how many people know will want to do the will of God? How many people are in any kind of relationship at all? Hope all the married people are raising their hands. Heather and I are in a relationship. As a result of that relationship, there's a lot of good things I do for her. Tuesday night, we get back from, we were at the Falcon Center working out. That's how I stay rip cut and chiseled like this. And Heather said, did you get that text today about from Leanne Chin's 2-for-1? Oh, yeah, I got that text. She said, well, I'm getting cleaned up because we had another place to be after that. What would you think about running up there and getting us dinner? I have a relationship with my wife, amen? And as a result of the relationship, what do I adore. I get excited. Sweetie, in my mind, I'm already there, you know what I mean? Are you hearing me this morning? Some of you need to go back to when you were dating. Remember when you first met that person, what you would do for them? There is no mountain high enough. There's no valley. Oh, I'll do anything. How many people know when Jesus says those who do the will, it's because it extends, the first place it extends from is you have a relationship. There's been a change of heart. There's been a heart that's touched. There's been a heart that's moved, and as a result, Lord, I want to do what pleases you. Amen? Are you telling the difference here? Jesus is talking about relationship. Those are the people that will enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you getting this morning? The people that have a relationship, and as a result, and you'll see this throughout the Bible, true salvation is shown through the works. When there's a change of heart, there's a change of behavior. I hope we get that as a church. When there's a change of heart, a heart that's been touched by Jesus, there's a change of how we live. We want to do the will of God. We want to do the things that He talked about in the Sermon on the Mount. We want to love our enemies. I want to punch them. I want to bless them with a brick. You know what I'm talking about? But in the Gospels, it's saying, hey, I got to love my neighbor. I got to pray for those who persecute me. Why? It extends because I have this relationship with my Heavenly Father, and I bow my knee and I submit and I say, Lord, whatever you want. It's no longer my life that I'm living. I'm living for you. And out of that relationship, I'm doing the will of God. Does that mean I do it right 100% of the time? Absolutely not. But I tell you what, there's a desire there. There's a desire in my heart. I want to please my Father in heaven. See, growing up in my home, I never got in trouble. And one of the reasons I never got in trouble, because I just adored my mom and dad. And I wanted to do everything I could possibly do to please them. I wish I would have been naughtier. You know what I mean? I missed out on some fun stuff. But it was because of relationship. I wanted to behave a certain way. And Jesus is saying here, He's saying, not all those who know, not all those who know the right talk, not all those who believe all the right things will go to heaven. I'll tell you who goes to heaven, people that have a relationship with God. Does everybody hear me this morning? I need a little more response because you better get this. You better get it. Are you hearing me this morning? Do I need to call you by name? Folks, I don't want you to miss this. Jesus gives this warning. And here I am today as the mouthpiece, and I'm just saying, Jesus, I'm just telling them what you told me to tell them. It's about a relationship. It's all about relationship. Then verse 22, Jesus says this, on judgment day. Whoa. We got to pause there. That's heavy. And what he's referring to the final judgment. He's referring to what we talked about 2 months ago. He's talking about a time in history. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. How many were here that day? The Great White Throne Judgment. It's talked about throughout the New Testament, primarily in Revelation chapter 20, that one day, every one of us, this blows my mind, you, me, the one you're sitting next to, every person will stand before the judgment seat of God. And what will be determined at the judgment seat of God? Does anybody remember? One issue will be determined at the judgment seat of God, and that is, where will you spend eternity? That is the primary issue at this great white throne judgment, is where will you spend eternity? And there's only two options. I know some religions like to throw in a third option, but there's really only two options, and that is heaven or hell. Okay? And Jesus is saying, he's becoming a prophet. He's showing his prophet mantle, and he says, on that day, Jesus is foreseeing the future. Many people will say words like this, or something along these lines. They will say, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. God, we cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. These must have been Pentecostal believers, by the way. They're prophesying, they're casting out demons, they're performing miracles in my name. And for years as a kid, when I read that passage, even as a young adult, I would read that passage and I would say, that is a pretty impressive list. How many would agree with me? That's impressive. I mean, you're prophesying, you're telling of the future, you're casting out demons, you're performing miracles. And I always said, wow, what a list. But listen to what Jesus says to those people. Is everybody with me this morning? Listen to what Jesus says to these people. I never knew you. Get away from me. I mean, for years I would read that passage and I would say, Jesus, these people are doing amazing things. They're prophesying, casting out demons. They're performing miracles. Why are you so opposed to these people who are doing these great things? And the answer is found in four short words. Don't miss this today. Don't ever miss this. This is the day that I'm making this clear. Don't miss this. The reason why Jesus is against these people, four words. Everybody say it together. Come on, folks. You got to say that like you have some conviction. Jesus said, I never knew you. Put yourself years ahead. Put yourself standing in the presence of Jesus, the Son of God, clothed in glory and splendor and majesty. Put yourself in that position to hear Jesus say, Billy Bob, I never knew you. I think those are probably four, if no doubt about it, these are four of the most difficult words that people will ever hear. And you know what Jesus is saying in a nutshell? He's saying, you know what? I never had a relationship. Somebody say, wow. That's what Jesus is saying here, everybody. Look at this real close. He's saying, I never had a relationship with you. I would hate for somebody that I love to hear those words. Never had a relationship. But here's what they had for all those years. Many of them had what? They had religion. What is religion? I wrote a few other words on there that you probably can't say. Religion is outward performance. It's really about I've done all the right things and I've strayed away from doing all the wrong things. I also put there, religion is kind of like a checklist. Many people on that day will say, Lord, Lord, I even went to that crazy Assembly God church in River Falls. I was in a small group. I gave in the offering. Lord, I didn't smoke or chew or hang out with those who do. Lord, I was on the board at that church. I was on the board at that church for 4 years, serving diligently. And what we do is we work from that checklist because we like to track the progress. We like checklists because we can track the progress. We can determine where we stand. Meaning, I've done a lot of these good things. Wow, look at me, God, look at me. And beside, how many people know relationships? They take work. Amen? I know that for Heather and I to have a good marriage, it takes a lot of work. For me to have a relationship with anyone, it takes work. It takes effort. There's times where it gets messy. There's time where there's misunderstanding. There's time when there's trust issues. There's time when I don't understand things. So as a result, many people say, I'd rather have religion. But here's the problem with religion, my friends, is that it will leave you empty and dry. You could be doing all the right things. Just like we talked about last week with Nicodemus. If there was a guy that did all the right things, it was Nicodemus. And we could all be doing the right things. I'm serving. I served this morning. But here's the thing. Religion can leave you empty. Can somebody say yes? And it can leave you dry. And I want to let you know, religion is not what God's looking for. God is looking for not your performance. And folks, I'm even talking about people who said, yeah, I'm a Christian for years, and you've gone back, and you've fallen out of relationship, and you've fallen into a performance way of living. You've fallen back into the performance. You've fallen back into religion. You've fallen back into what can I do for God? And I can tell God's in this place this morning. I feel his presence. He's speaking to you. And God isn't looking for religion. He's not looking for you to do all the right things, to be the nicest guy on the block. He's not looking for your performance. You know what God wants more than anything? And everybody say it together. He wants a relationship with you. God doesn't want your performance. He wants your heart. And as a result of having your heart, then you'll do what is pleasing to Him. So why don't we just pause here, and why don't we just kind of bow our heads, relax, and I'm talking more to myself than anyone. Religion, relationship. Can I be straightforward with you this morning? Can I ask you a question that will impact eternity? This doesn't just impact today. This is a question that will impact eternity. And my question is, do you have a relationship with God? It's a relationship with God that is so strong that it impacts your behavior, it impacts your attitudes, it impacts how you behave. Or maybe you're here today and you're trapped in religion. All you're doing is you're trying to have this outward performance where everything looks good, but inside you're empty and dry. You're going through a checklist. You're trying to do all the right things and stay away from doing the big sins, the big ugly things that would forfeit me on my to-do list. You have a relationship with God. Or have you fallen into the trap of religion? If you've fallen into the trap of religion this morning, I want to encourage you to say, Lord, today, I want to turn away from me doing all the right things, all the right behaviors, being a great neighbor, being the best citizen, going to church as much as I can. And would today be the day where you say, Lord, I'm not sure what this is all going to look like in the future, but today I want to have a change of heart, and today I want to enter into a relationship with you. I want to enter into a relationship that's real. I want to enter into a relationship where there's fulfillment, where there's purpose, where there's meaning, where you and I are spending time together. And some people are saying, well, I don't know how to do that. May I suggest that it's as simple as putting your complete trust in Jesus. Everybody say those two words, in Jesus. Because it's only through Jesus that we can have a relationship with God. Amen? It's only through Jesus. You know, on that day, I'm not going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, I pastored a church in your name. Jesus isn't going to say, wow, Mike, that was impressive. Come on. He's going to ask, were you in a relationship? But Lord, I did all these things. I mean, look, and I'm trying to change the world. Look, and I'm trying to make a difference. God, look at what I'm, me. That's religion, me. Relationship is Jesus. Is there anyone here today that you've been trapped into religion, and today is the day you want to say fresh and anew? And it may be somebody that you may have said, I've been a Christian for 40 years, but today I need to settle something again in my heart. Is there anyone here today who would say, you know what? I need to make sure that I'm in a relationship with Jesus. Is there anyone here this morning who says, I want to take that step. I want to just make sure that that's solidified in my life. I want a relationship. Is there anyone here today? Yes. Hey, don't be afraid. Just raise your hand. Say, yes, I want to make sure I'm in a relationship with Jesus. I'm placing my trust in Jesus. He's the way to the Father. I believe that He, in His death, His burial, His resurrection, I believe He's the only way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Jesus. So, Lord, right now I pause and I pray for those people that obviously Your Spirit's at work in their lives. And, Lord, I just pray, God, that they would just trust in You, Jesus, with all their heart, that they would lean into You, and they would desire a relationship that is alive, it's active, it's powerful. And, God, I just pray that in this church that You'll break any bondage, any chains of religion, that we wouldn't be a religious church that's trying to do all the right things. But, Lord, that we're a church that we have a relationship. We're in love with Jesus. Amen? How many people want us to be a church that's in love with Jesus? So when kids come in here on Wednesday night, we're giving them the love of Jesus. In our small groups, we're giving them the love of Jesus. And Sunday morning, we're giving them the love of Jesus. So, Lord, just work in our hearts today, we pray. And be with us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, amen. Why don't we all stand to our feet this morning?